This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Yeah, dudes come to me for coolness advice because I've mastered the art of conversation. I'm an introvert, and yet. I've overcome it by coming up with awesome conversation starters and whatnot. You want to read this thing to me on Facebook?
Yes, he left it on your Facebook page, and he says his way of beginning small talk is, his name's Joshua, by the way, is telling people they smell.
And he's an introvert, too?
He is. So he'll say, hey, you smell... like, and then he'll maybe say something there, but people aren't open to
his overtures of friendship. So he starts off by saying, hey, you smell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wondering what the deal is.
Yeah, why people aren't really open to continuing a conversation.
I would just stick with it.
Stick with it?
I don't see an issue.
He said it's not working.
But it's the people he's around. You can't control everybody. I mean, you can only go so far in a relationship, and the other person has to step up. You're doing what you can. Reaching out to them, and then if they rebuff you, that's on them. At some point, you just have to walk away head held high, Joshua. We have a Hall of Fame here on the show, and you may know somebody who belongs in it. It is our Underdog Hall of Fame. Here's the thing. The same people get talked about all the time. You can go to any radio station. They're talking about this celebrity, that person who's already celebrated. What about the other people? What about people who inspire you no one has heard of? Call us if you want to put somebody in our Underdog Hall of Fame. The phone number is 855-90-BRANT. Somebody who faces tremendous obstacles but inspires you because of how awesome they are. Today, we are putting Adam and Anna in our Underdog Hall of Fame. Here are their nominations.
Yes, I'm nominating Adam Dunlap. He has gone through 47 surgeries. He was born with spina bifida, cerebral palsy, and hydrocephalus. He's in a wheelchair, and right now his parents are divorced, or they're in separate homes. He's going to be living with his mother. Right now he's living with his father. He's going through so much turmoil. But still, he has a smile on his face.
My sister, Anna Wegfert, she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, which is a terminal lung disease, at the age when she was born. Even in these struggles, even in these hard times, she is just really persevering with God. She's really just, God loves her, and she knows that, and she's just trying to fulfill his will. And it's hard in those times, and it's hard in those struggles, but she just perseveres, and I want to thank God for her.
I'm getting into a boxing ring.
What?
With a wild boar.
What?
Now, you might wonder, why is he in this ring with this wild boar?
I am wondering that.
Illustrating that we all have health risks,
Brandt,
in our lives. Anything could happen right now to me.
But this is on purpose. You're doing this on purpose.
Doing it on purpose. But the point is, would I be covered by typical health insurance? Would I?
I don't know.
Or would they just say, who cares?
Right.
I don't know if Medishare, I don't know how they deal with this.
Okay, with a wild boar fighting.
But now I want to move past that.
Okay.
Pretend that didn't happen. All this to say, Medishare is awesome. Sherry's doing, it's a way to save a lot of money each month, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm finding it hard to move past the wild boar.
But I need you to.
Okay,
I need you to pick
all right.
up the ball here.
Okay,
and
I'll
then
take
you
it.
Run with it.
It's an alternative to health insurance, and it's a body of believers that are sharing each other's medical expenses.
And it's fantastic.
It is.
If you want to do it, you go to this website, biblicalhealthcare.com. Biblicalhealthcare.com.
Or you can call 855-772-5699.
See, the thing is, I felt like I illustrated this whole thing really vividly.
But there was no reason for that illustration, I guess is what
would. Well, one
what
reason
it.
Is I have the sound effects of a wild boar. To me, that was a reason.
Okay. Can we talk about what happened at Subway yesterday when we went to lunch with a coworker?
Sure.
You walk into Subway, and it was just, hey, Brad! And discussion and merriment with the employees, something that I have not seen with your arrival in a place before.
They like me there, and I feel at home there with the Subway people.
At home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why they like me, but I know this. I always like it double toasted, and so that they always know, Herrick's Double Toast guy.
Okay.
And I always want mounds of spinach, like all the spinach they have.
Right.
And so they think that's weird.
Okay.
And I think they talk to each other about it. So when I walk in, it's like, here's the freak of the day.
No, it wasn't
that. It was. And then,
they were genuinely happy to see you.
I felt good. Yeah. I think that brings me back. I felt like family.
It really took me into another space because you always talk about
how... No, it's usually Cher.
See, now that's where we're going. See?
No, it's fine.
But I was really happy to say, I said, look at this. I couldn't even order. I was like, oh, Frant, these people want Frant to be here at Subway.
Sherry's like, Frant's got friends. This is great. This is so inspiring. See? If he can make friends, guys, what can happen for you? Yeah. There's a cool thing that radio stations do, and everybody does it. And so I thought, I don't want to miss out on this. It's a what's trending feature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, look, we're on social media. Here's what's trending. So what's trending? Let's do that here.
Okay.
I'm going to show you what's happening and hot and cool around.
First of all, let me say I applaud you wanting to jump into pop culture.
Yeah.
However, when we've done this feature in the past, it's always come back to animals. Like, what's trending? There's a lot more trending than...
That's not necessarily where I'm going with this.
Okay, good. Let's
it may
see.
Have been, like, what's trending last time.
Yeah.
But this is a new what's
every
trending.
Every time we've done it, it's been about animals.
All right,
but let's
all the cool stories, things that are trending. Today, there's an actual chicken that tweets. It writes its own tweets. It pecks out. Now, the tweets don't make any sense yet, but they're hoping it will. It's called Chicken Treat, but it's on Twitter, and I've been following this chicken for a while. It's gotten close. They're hoping it will... it's a her.
She's pecking.
Betty. And she pecks around on the keyboard, and most of it's like semicolon, semicolon,
yeah.
R, four, semicolon.
And you're seeing that tweet come up, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, that's from Betty.
That's deep.
So anyway, that's trending
you
now.
You told me this wasn't going to be about...
Well,
animals.
Not every time, but okay. You know, it's just that's what's trending. I can't help what's trending. I'm not the one who decides this. This. Anyway, that's what's trending.
Yeah.
All the hot news for you right now. Have you noticed how incredibly fearful everybody seems to be about everything? I mean, everything. Every product that's made, every news story, every cover story, a lot of times it's just some kind of fear. There's a story recently about how sitting will kill you. And I just saw an article today go, well, standing still will kill you too. And like, it's just as bad as smoking or something like that. It's like, literally, there's not a human activity that is not besotten with fear now. And it's interesting to me because our culture, let's be honest, is less about God than it's ever really been. And we get more fearful. There's more things to worry about. If you look at what the Bible says and the stories in the Bible and the wisdom literature, it actually says if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. You fear Him. That's it. And nothing else needs to be feared. And as we fear Him less, it seems like we fear everything else all the more, including just sitting down. You should be scared to sit down now. Her name is Sally. She is on the phone with us right now. We've been talking. Do you have time for one more little thing that we maybe would like to do with you here?
Of course. More alien species to save.
Bam. You are on it.
That's exactly where we're going.
How'd you know?
Of course.
Okay. You ready?
Of course you are.
Are you okay with the responsibility of this? Because if you get it wrong, the whole planet is destroyed.
You know, I believe God has enough grace and mercy to extend to me, even if I happen to destroy an alien planet.
Yeah, I believe that.
The aliens heard you say that, and they are really glad that you feel secure.
And offing their whole race.
Right. They're like, oh, good, she's theologically worked it out if she blows it. Right, good. Brace yourself, it's all on Sally's shoulders coming up. A study of NFL fans found this percentage of the total number is made up of women. The total number of NFL fans, is it 25% or 45%?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say 45.
45. If you get it wrong, you will hear the planet blow up. You will see it before your own eyes.
Okay.
And you will...
I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
I believe it's 45%.
Because of grace. And here's the other thing. If you get it right, you'll
be always great.
Hero. Hero. At the end of the Chronicles of Narnia, like when they're up at the red carpet thing.
Yes.
That's you.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, awesome.
The answer is the percentage of active NFL fans that is composed of women is 45%. You got it right!
Oh!
There we go.
Queen of the Flan.
And I get to be queen. Yay! I get to be. I tell my children to call me queen.
That's there exactly right.
Of her own planet, she is a hero.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable. That's beautiful.
Yay!
It's really true, and you know this, right? Like, there are certain conditions under which you thrive, and certain conditions you don't. I mean, it's like a fish. Fish thrives in the water, on the beach, not so much, because it's fish. You know one of the conditions we thrive in? Serving people. Like, I, Brant, struggle with depression as a general rule. It's just been my thing ever since I can remember, even as a little kid. But I tell you what, when I, and occasionally it happens, not that often, but when I try to do something to serve somebody, just be creative, serve somebody, I feel better. And it's not like a feel better just about my self-esteem or anything. It just feel better in general. It's like I'm made for that environment. Like I'm actually designed to be a blessing to people. And I would tell you that too, especially if you're feeling down. I mean, it's not like not being preachy or bossy or anything, but try it. I saw this story yesterday. Southwest Airlines took a passenger. Her son was in a horrible accident, and they found out about it. And she was on a plane that was getting ready to take off. Well, they stopped everything, got her off the plane, told her what was going on, had her luggage, and got her a prearranged flight to Denver to see her son, took care of all her expenses for the hotel. I have a hunch that the employees that did all that were not feeling down in the dumps. They're probably like, wow, we get to serve somebody. There's something about actually taking our eyes off ourselves, and it's like, oh, that's what I'm made for. Okay, I'm not supposed to be on the beach. I'm supposed to be in the water. This is how I thrive. Checking our voicemail box. By the way, it's 855-90-BRANT. If you ever want to call us, leave a message or whatever.
Hey, my name is Sherman Allen. I just wanted to leave a message for Brant. He had mentioned a couple days ago about how people don't get him on his show. I just wanted to let him know that as the father of an autistic child, I completely get him, and I enjoy your show immensely. Sometimes I think that Sherry thinks that you're being deadpan humor, when in actuality, you're just being Brant. And she has a hard time telling the difference, but she has such an infectious laugh that it makes it really fun. Thank you guys a lot. Bye.
Thank you, by the way. And if you're new to the show, too, you should know this. If it does take you a little while to figure out what's going on, people who have some, if they're on the autism spectrum or they have somebody in their family who's on the autism spectrum, has Asperger's or something, they usually do catch on quicker.
Mm-hmm.
They just have they know, like, okay, they can identify this is what this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. The other thing about the deadpan humor, that happens to me a lot, and I know why. I'm not trying to say something funny at all.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time on this show, more than half, I'm not. That's what I mean. It's because I'm deadpan all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people learn to expect, like, they're not sure whether I'm trying to be funny or not.
Right.
So it all...
it's all funny to me.
All because... And this happens in meetings and stuff, too. I'm like, no, guys, my proposal was actually quite serious for the next fiscal year. And everybody's
well,
like,
ah, come on.
Oh, Brant, you card next. A lot of people will hear songs like the ones we have on the station, and some people are, you know, venturing toward God, or they're interested in Him, not necessarily kind of holding their options open. But other people are like, yeah, I believe all this stuff. But it's one thing to believe it in your head. I struggle with this. You can believe it in your head, but it doesn't quite hit your heart. And what I mean by that is the idea that God actually loves you and it's not based on what you do. That is so hard to actually absorb. But until we do, we can't ever really fully love other people. And here's why I mean by that. Because if you're trying to please God, even when you serve somebody else, it's kind of selfish. There's a little selfishness because you're trying to prove yourself to God. Like, yeah, I'll help this person, and God, I hope you're pleased with this. That's in the back of our minds. How do I know? Well, I've been there. I understand it. When you finally really start to absorb just how radical grace actually is, that He loves you, whether you fail or succeed morally, when you finally start to absorb that, you can start to love people unselfishly. Because now it's not about you at all. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody for God. There's nothing in it for you except just joy at the end of the day because you're doing what you're made to do. honored to have, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know this, we have a group of goats who are very insightful and give wisdom on a breadth of issues, and we invite listeners to ask our team of advice goats what they think. I usually translate for them.
Yes, you do.
They're really terrific. We have a question from somebody.
Yes, from John. By the way, I've never been on board with this feature, but people keep sending questions in for the advice goats. So
we're doing it.
So yes, we are. Mm-hmm. John and his wife have been married for 6 months. They got married in May, and they're wondering if it's too early for them to give marriage advice to others.
Is John his name?
Yes, wants the advice goats.
The advice goats got a take on this. Married 6 months, want to know if they can start giving advice.
Man.
They say it's best to be what they're saying. Sherry, excuse me.
They're saying,
hang on a second. Okay, they're saying what they said was, hang on. They said it's best to be in a listening mode right now.
Mm.
You can share out of experience that, hey, this is what we're doing. If you want to talk with other people who are newlyweds, but really at this point, you can't speak authoritatively about something you haven't fully experienced as a general rule. So they're encouraging humility. I think I got that right.
That's great. What are they saying? You got that?
They say that's largely true of any endeavor.
Okay.
I think that's the thing they bring.
They're wise.
You may not like the feature, but they bring insight. And I think we don't have enough of that, Sherry.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, you know what? I'll give marriage advice. I will. I'm not prone to do it, but since I've been married for so long,
I think you should do it more. I always tell you that.
I appreciate that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, because people need whatever hard-won wisdom there is out there.
Right. And you've been married 25 years.
Right.
And yeah.
Still work in progress, as always. That's life. That's right. Being a human. It's marvelously complex, and that's what makes marriage so poetic, is it's, frankly, it's hard.
Right.
Hard and beautiful. That said, I usually need somebody to ask.
Okay.
That's the thing. I don't want to just get on the air and go, well, here's my marriage advice for the day. I know people can do that, and they do that. Mm-hmm. It's hard
isn't there something that, like, you learn something between you and your wife or some situation you're in, and you're like, you know what, that's good. I should probably tell other people that just because you've learned it, right?
I guess.
Okay.
Okay, well, I do have one thing on my mind.
All right.
Now, which is, go ahead, put stuff away. As a guy, just put it away. Because your wife, she should have that.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't take that much effort. Just do it.
Like stuff, what are you talking about?
Well, I we both live there. It's both our home, right?
Right.
So if my shirt is over the banister, and she would like it, I'll just do it.
Okay.
I mean, I want her to feel like home is what she can be comfortable. That's all.
And your shirt over the banister is making her uncomfortable.
It's not even worth talking about.
Right.
And it's not worth pointing it. You know, something across the room that may be hers and say, well, you haven't moved that. It really doesn't.
Doesn't help anything. That's good advice.
It really helps. Hypothetically. The whole shirt banister, something across the room.
That's just hypothetical.
That's hypothetical.
Theory.
But yeah. Hey there. I am Brant. Producer Sherry is here too. You ever want to chime in on the show? It's 855-90-BRANT. And we will be talking about this hour some pretty awesome things, all of which I've forgotten.
Okay.
But we prepared this ahead of time, and I trust that whatever's on that page that I can't see right now is going to be golden.
But I did tell you what we were doing.
Okay. But you didn't have to say that on
air. I'm sorry. I thought
she did tell me right before I went on what we were doing, but it's amazing how quickly I can forget stuff, like instantly.
Instantly.
And I listened. I really did.
I know. You said it
and
back
then,
to me.
Bam.
Right.
Gone. No clue what's coming up. I'll be just as surprised as you. That's what's so great about this.
We're all in this thing together.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I'll find out too. We are in an awesome cafe. It's the Honesty Cafe. That's why you hear this ambient noise.
Mm-hmm.
People eating and such. It's a beautiful place. All the food is free. Here's
the
thing, though.
Free.
We ask you a question. You have to be honest. That's it.
That's good.
Pretty simple. And we have Rachel here sitting with us, enjoying some burnt toast along with us. Question for you. Has it ever hurt when somebody unfriends you on Facebook? Has that happened?
It kind of does. It depends a lot on who it is. It's mostly like something I did bothered you.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
So you can't handle it.
That is what it comes down to. It's like, what did I do, right? I mean,
because you can't tell what the thing was. Like, they don't say, hey, I don't like mm-hmm. what you did here. I'm unfriending you. They're just gone, and you don't have a chance to look and see. At least if Facebook gave you the date that they unfriended you, then you could be like, oh, that corresponds with this post. But you can't, so you just don't know. Have you ever asked someone, hey, you unfriended me, why?
No, I did have somebody that I unfriended, and then they friended me back.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, you noticed.
Why did you unfriend them?
Because I never talked to them.
Okay.
And then they friended me back, and they still don't talk to me. So I don't know why they missed me.
I guess they don't feel like they can really ignore you unless you're friends on Facebook.
That's when the ignoring really takes roots and takes hold when
we're
friends.
I need to block you, and if we're not friends, how do I block you? You see these stories all the time. Somebody's looking in the attic. Oh, look at what I found behind this map. It's an original whatever, and they get $90,000 from it or something. See this all the time. And I'm reminded of something. That is, if you know who painted it, it becomes incredibly valuable because you can see the hallmarks of that particular artist. This is true of every single human you're walking past today, or the people you're driving past, the people you're in school with, the people you work with, the humans walking around. They all bear the hallmarks of the artist who put them together, and they're infinitely valuable because of him. He made us in his image. And so even the people you're frustrated with, you're angry with, the people who drive you crazy, those are original works of art. And I can see where Jesus treats people like that. Like he sees, no, this person's more valuable than a tree walking around or just an object. This person is an absolute masterpiece and worth so much more than that. Tell you what, moving is really hard. Always. There's always something that comes up. And Sherry, I wanted you to tell, because this is so brilliant. The moving people took apart Sherry's desk
mm-hmm.
and said, we'll reassemble it. But Sherry said, don't take it apart because you won't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I had warned her because I actually gave her our desk.
Right. And you said, don't take this desk apart.
They're like, no, we got it. So they take it apart. They finally drop it off after much hullabaloo at Sherry's new place. And then it's just in pieces. And they decide, we're not going to put it back together. Yeah. We don't know how.
Right.
So Sherry calls, and the guy gets upset at her.
He's yelling at me.
Because you said, you guys need to put this together, or you need to buy me a new desk.
Right.
Because it's, my desk is destroyed.
Yeah.
And so he's yelling at you.
Yeah. And I'm saying to him, okay, but I paid for you guys to do this.
Right.
And he's, really, really agitated and angry at me. And so I stopped and I said, sir.
Yeah, this is genius. This is the genius part.
I said, sir, I understand why I'm upset because I paid for a service that wasn't provided. Can you tell me why you're upset? Like, what is the source of your anger and your agitation?
Right.
Because I paid you in full.
I'm standing amidst desk parts.
Right.
And I paid you over $1,000 to move this stuff.
And you have all your money.
And you're angry at me.
Yeah.
So,
how can I help?
And I love that the tone that Sherry struck apparently was just like, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Help me understand your frustration.
Yeah. And he apologized.
And he apologized. Even. That is absolutely great. Because you realize how ridiculous it is. Like, why am I yelling at you? We destroy your desk, take your money, and yell at you. Customer service.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.